Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Because we really don't know how to deal with it any other way. And I go back to what you said in the beginning. We tune off from God. Because, again, yeah, and it does go with the flesh. It does go with what we deal with in our flesh. But a lot of us really, because we haven't had that figure or that thing to learn from, or that person, hey, Robin, how you doing? Or that person.
Hi, Robin.
To really, you know, accountability. Most men, we grow up learning things on the fly. So, you know.
And as women, what we do is we try to catch it when we see it happening. Like, we have something. It's like we're in tune to the fact of, okay, hold on. If you keep doing this, then something's going to come of that. If you do this, then this is going to happen. Or we may say it wrong sometimes. Because sometimes, to me, in my opinion, even when we forewarn our spouse or our boyfriend, girlfriend, that we see the potential for something to come of it, for you to yield to your flesh, we're not received well. We're received almost as you're insecure, what you talking about, in a we're received negatively. And I've always wondered why that is.
So to answer Jesse's question, your question was, when we see the first sign of trouble, if I'm saying it correctly, or when things get a little crazy or chaotic or haywire,
right?
Why do we as men search for solace, or search for what we feel we are lacking on one end?
Mm-hmm.
We search
exactly.
for it in another woman.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
Can I answer that question from my point of view?
That's what we want.
All right. We ready.
So I grew up in a single parent home. And growing up in that single parent home, I grew up with my dad as the primary parent. And this is not a knock on my mother or my father, because my mother and my father were both good parents to me. But my mom was not in the house. It wasn't until, now, the first thing that happened is, I want to say at about the age of 8 years old, my father's girlfriend at the time, who was not my mother, opened my flesh up to something it should not have been opened up to at 8 years old.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And from that day, I was in search or in hot pursuit for the full, the touch, the love, the compassion, the understanding, the emotional stability from a woman.
Right. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Because my flesh had been introduced to something it should not have been introduced to in the absence of my mother.
Okay.
So from that point on, and having not addressed it, never saying anything about it, never saying anything to my father about it, never saying anything to my mother about it, I carried it and locked it in my heart. Until Matters of the Heart came out.
Wow. Mm.
But as a negative result of holding it and harboring it in my heart, what I did was I unconsciously searched for this feeling, this touch, this love, this compassion, this understanding from a woman, because one, a woman touched me as a child in a way I should not have been touched. And my mother wasn't there to touch me in the way I should have been touched.
Right.
Gotcha.
Now, again, that's not a knock on my mom, because me and my mother have one of the greatest relationships right now. I love her dearly. But this is one of the reasons why I am such an advocate for marriages staying in place and families staying together, because it has such an effect on the children. Even today at 48 years old, I still struggle with which parent I'm going to call first as for Christmas.
Got you.
You understand? So, you know,
wow.
to answer that question, there are a myriad of reasons why that can be the resort for a man. That was my reason. There are some individuals who have been taught this kind of behavior indirectly by simply watching that behavior.
Right.
I.e., you can be an individual in church and watch your pastor be a whoremonger. And because your pastor is your hero,
right,
what's wrong appears to be right, especially if he continuously got away with it.
Right.
So there's so many different reasons.
Right.
So I like what you said. That this is why it's so important that we should be in God's ear, especially when there's kids involved as well, because every action, even if it's a action that we think is positive and it's not given to us by God, it still could affect the kids. You know what I'm saying? So how would you say, how could we watch, or how could you tell the people that's watching the effect that being out of place could be affect the kids?
The family unit is ordained, constructed, built, blueprinted by God himself.
Right.
It is what God set in place as his example of order and structure in the earth realm. The family unit.
That's right.
Now, he could have easily left Adam with animals, but instead he said, it's not good for man to be alone.
Right.
And as a result, he creates Eve and he tells them to be fruitful and multiply, because he wants them to have dominion and replenish the earth.
Come on.
The institution of family is not something that just came from nowhere. The institution of family is God's way of showing a unified body in the earth realm.
Right.
He is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. In the earth, we are family. I can be dad, husband, I can be father, I can be Robert. I'm spirit, soul, and body. He wants to show the unity of heaven on the earth realm by way of the institution of family.
That's right.
He establishes head. And when he establishes head, then he establishes the body. And when he establishes the body, then he establishes the offspring, which is the children.
Right.
So the head is the man. The woman is the body. How do you know she's the body? Because she came from the inner part of his body. And the children are the offspring.
That's right.
So this is God's way of showing himself in another way. He shows himself in another way through family. So when we escape, or when we rebel against the voice of God, it causes a frequency of chaos in the family. And usually that does not come unless the head of the house has opened the gates.
Uh-oh.
when the head of the house opens the gates. That's when chaos comes in and causes a frequency of chaos in the family. Now, there's a whole lot of people who would disagree with that because they want to look at the woman and say, oh, well, she did X, Y, Z. That mm-hmm. sounds like Adam, mm-hmm. the woman you gave me.
That's mm-hmm. right. This woman, God, you.
That's what Adam said.
Right.
The woman you gave me. And God looking at him like, I gave her to you, which means you had power right. to cover her.
Come on. This is the order.
You are responsible.
And even if she ate, even if she cheated first, let's play it on another one. Even if she cheated first, mm-hmm. what did you do as her head to cover her?
See, this is some heavy stuff.
Did you respond to her infraction like I responded to your infractions?
Wow. Wow.
Because the principal example of this headship that I put you in was the example that I gave you by making myself yes. your head.
That's right.
Yes.
So even if she kissed another man before you ever kissed another woman, even if she was with somebody else before you was ever with somebody else, how did you cover her? Hmm. And what came in the gates that made her feel like she can find her Adam in somebody else?
Oh, my. Hmm. Hmm. See, we don't hear this kind of talk too often.
Man, listen.
We don't hear this kind of talk too often.
Yeah. You're blessing me today, man. I want to ask you another question.
I know, Robin.
Robin. That's what I said, Robin. Before we go into, because I really want you to share a little bit of your experience with me. But before we go in, this is a debate that goes on a lot. It has a lot to do with what we're talking about. And then I want you to share,
right.
you know, because this is the topic. A lot of people believe that marriage is just a piece of paper. I hear a lot of people say that. Oh, because what happens is you have some men who are in marriages, or not marriages, but relationships or situationships for long yeah. periods of time. They're living with the woman. They have kids with the woman, but their desire and their fear, we come across it all the time.
Yeah.
Well, what's the difference? I'm coming home every night and such, so
it's
and I encourage
him.
Yeah, it's already harmony. So if we go ahead and get married, that gonna mess it up. And marriage ain't nothing but a piece of paper.
Yeah.
What's your take on that? Come on.
My take on it, Jess, is that marriage, based on what has transpired in the earth and in the laws of the land, it has literally become just a legal binding agreement, mm-hmm. which is a piece of paper. Mm-hmm. We as saints don't just enter into marriage. We enter into matrimony.
Come mm-hmm. on.
And it's not just matrimony, but it's holy matrimony.
That's right.
Which separates us from people who are just married.
Mm-hmm. That's the difference.
Anybody can get married.
Mm-hmm. But
in certain countries, 15-year-olds can get married.
Come on.
In other countries, 12-year-olds can get married.
My God. Mm-hmm.
But they know nothing about holy matrimony.
Okay.
And holy matrimony is the act of couples covenant.
All right now.
It is where God gets into the marriage and makes it his union.
That's right.
Come on.
That's right.
It's where marriage becomes honorable.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
And the bed becomes undefiled.
Hey, yeah. Glory.
Uh-huh. Mm.
Because today's laws will tell you that marriage can be partaken in different ways.
Today's laws,
but they
right.
could never do anything with those marriages to make it holy and their beds undefiled.
Mama, mm-hmm. come on now.
Any marriage that does not lead to an undefiled bed is not matrimony. Mm-hmm.
My goodness.
No marriage is supposed to just be a marriage. If God is in it, then it evolves into holy matrimony.
Come
this
on.
Is the reason why. This is the reason why marriage don't even have to necessarily be a piece of paper no more. Because if you with somebody long enough, they call it common law.
Right, marriage. Right, right. That's right. Right. That's right.
If you live with somebody long enough, you gain equal rights to the place where they live and where you live because they call it common law matrimony.
Right.
And at any given moment, you can walk away.
You can walk away. Yeah. There's no commitment. That's right. Right.
But when your marriage is a matrimony, there ain't no easy walking away.
It's not. Come on now.
God will whisper in that ear and constantly remind you, you made me a promise.
Oh, my goodness.
He won't even bring up your spouse.
That's right.
Because you living the promise with your spouse is a byproduct of you keeping your promise to him.
Come on now.
That's right. That is right.
Good. That's good.
God says, you made me a promise.
That's right.
And you're going to let something that has hurt you, messed up your feelings, broke y'all down for a minute, you're going to let that cause you to go back on what you told me you was going to do?
Uh-oh. Come on now.
She belongs to me. And because she belongs to me, I know her. But not only do I know her, I trusted her with you.
Yes. Yes.
And when I trusted her with you, I trusted her with you, counting on the fact that you would not go back on your
Come
word
on, Bishop.
As it pertains to her.
See, that's what I'm talking about. It's deeper than that.
Covenant. That's right, Robbie.
That was good.
I shifted her out of her father's house.
Come on.
Shifted her out of her mother's house and gave her to
gave
you.
Gave her to you.
So that you wouldn't just be in a marriage. Why? Because there are people in the church who get married before they go
That's
to
right.
the preacher
That's
and
right.
get the matrimony. The Bible tells us, once you fornicate and have sex, you married that person.
That's right.
And that's not holy matrimony.
That's right.
Just marriage.
Marriage. Come on.
That's right.
Come on. That's right. Man.
But holy matrimony is where it all
What's up,
changes.
Crystal?
I hope I'm not boring y'all.
Oh man, no, they you're getting comments, man. Everybody saying preach, teach, and you got Crystal who just logged
Crystal, hi, sweetie.
The president of Arms Entertainment.
Okay.
Janine. Hey Janine Harris.
Y'all
She's
listen.
On a binding covenant. Again, babe, I'm sorry.
No. I'm not saying much because I feel like I'm at man talking to man cave. I'm loving this and the way you broke it down. I've heard
Lasagna.
Certain people say certain things a certain way, but I've never heard it like that. I love that.
Lasagna said the agreement is just written on paper. The agreement of marriage is unity and holy matrimony. Run if you with someone. Wait, run if you someone that thinks marriage is just a piece of paper. That's
yeah,
right.
Run if don't, you don't even stay in that situation. Think marriage is a piece of paper, but.
So, That.
I think I'm going to say about the same thing you're going to say, because I'm excited to hear The word of God says we overcome by the words of our testimony. I'm excited to hear about this. Yes. You can love again.
Yes.
Since we're talking about holy matrimony.
This topic today, yes, this is definitely real talk. Yes. This topic today, to be honest with you, bro, it was inspired by you.
Come on.
Because you have, you had a story, even though we've all been through the similar story, but just, it was just something. Hey, Yvonne, how you doing?
Yvonne.
It was just something about your conversation coming out of it.
Coming through. That's the part.
Coming out of it. You know what I'm saying? Because trust me, bro, we've been through everything together. And what you've become today, this guy right here is powerful. And I know a lot of times God takes us through situations to really, you know, bring us to where he has us to be or what he's mm-hmm. making us to be. So there's a lot of things that we probably would have to go through. But right. I really want you, because I believe your testimony is going to bless millions.
Come on.
Millions. And I really want you to just, we want to open the floor for you to just give us a little, you know, a little testimony of this topic, who was definitely inspired by you on today.
You can love.
You can love again.
Oof.
y'all keep
the screen just like this. Don't zoom in on me.
All right.
We with you, man. We with you, man. We with you.
Yes. Who? Come on, God.
I don't mind sharing my testimony, because it is a testimony of, again, love, pain, and victory. It's the miracle of love, pain, and victory. Where do I begin? Me and my amazing wife have been married, this year makes 23 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Jesse, who introduced me to her.
Yes, I sure did. Okay. As I told you, I've been there from the beginning.
Wow. Okay.
In order for me to really be effective, I have to say that I am a stupid man.
Wow.
One who was childish, immature, selfish, carnal, inconsiderate.
Wow.
Deaf. Sleeping. Anything negative that you can think of that will be detrimental to a good relationship, I was that. In a nutshell, if I box everything into one category, it would have to be that I was a very selfish, inconsiderate man who was concerned about becoming this person in ministry, becoming the elder, the pastor, the overseer, the bishop. When I look back over the dysfunctionability of my family, because I have to address the season of my family's dysfunction. When I look back over the time and I try to pinpoint where things went wrong, the first thing that I can say is that I choked the life out of my family.
Wow.
How did I choke the life out of my family? I was racing towards something that appeared to be great. And in racing towards it, I was causing them to breathe in the dust of my pace to move forward.
Wow.
Wow.
And while they breathed in the dust of my apprehension to go forward, it was choking the life out of them.
Wow.
To the point where they became resentful to ministry because my passion and my push towards it eliminated them out of the equation and made them feel less important. While that was going on, the devil himself was able to, talk to the anointed preacher.
Come on.
He was able to convince me that I was by myself.
Wow.
And when he convinced me that I was by myself, I did not see the fact that while my family was choking on my dust, they were still trying to keep up.
Man, that's good.
And as a result of me adhering to what the enemy spoke into my ear and spoke into my spirit, how he rocked me to sleep as it pertained to my family, instead of me owning up, I turned it around on my family and accused them of not being supportive. And accused them of not being ministry-minded. Where the truth of the matter is, they were more ministry-minded than anybody could have imagined them to be. There's no way in the world you can accuse them of being ministry-minded if they're staying with you through evictions. If they're staying with you through scandals, if they're staying with you through rumors, if they're staying with you through different things, you can't accuse them of not being ministry-minded if they are staying with you when they have the right to leave. And so I turned it around on them and I accused them of not being ministry-minded. And I wrote this deep letter to my family on New Year's Day of 2020 about how I felt and how I didn't think they were on the same faith frequency as me. I wrote this text in a family group text without at least giving them the opportunity to sit with me and voice their opinion. Instead, what I did was I dominated the narrative, accused them, and shut them down and kidnap their voice so that I could feel better about myself. Things got a little bit awkward in the household. I moved out. My life began to tried to take some kind of an upswing because I found somebody who I thought could erase all of this pain that I tried to convince myself was a result of their actions when the truth of the matter is the pain that I was feeling was self-inflicted. Wow. And for 2.5 years, me and my wife were separated. We talking about a couple who never had a shouting match. Hmm. Never had a physical altercation with one another. Never argued in front of the children. Hmm. Two individuals who were able to make it 20 years now separate. And I remember the Lord finally getting to me to where I realized it was all you. Mm-hmm. It was all your fault. You have to take accountability. You got to take responsibility. Why? Because the individual with the highest ranking title in the house is the most responsible. Mm. You are a bishop in the Lord's church. How can you cast demons out and speak to devils everywhere else and not confront the ones within yourself that are exuding out of you, wrecking your family? And so I asked God to show me how to put my marriage back together. Because I heard him say, you can't tell people about chasing after me if you ain't chasing after your family.
Hmm. Come on now.
I gave them to you.
Gave them.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing with them? Your wife, I gave to you. Mm-hmm. And when I gave you your wife, I empowered your seed.
Yes, God.
To put life in her. Mm-hmm. And that life came from me. And then I empowered your seed again to put life in her.
Mm-hmm.
And that life came from me.
Come on now.
What are you doing with what I gave you?
Wow. Oof.
Why would you mishandle my gift to you?
That's right.
I know you want to be a bishop in the Lord's church. And you want to be the individual who runs his house well so that it can be said that you are qualified to run the Lord's house.
Mm.
But the truth of the matter is, my house don't need you. I provide for my house.
Come on. Come on.
Oof. And I will bless you enough to where I provide for your house.
That's right.
The responsibility has nothing to do with what you can do for your house monetarily. It has all to do with what you can do for your house spiritually. Mm-hmm. How are Jesus. You handling the souls in your house?
Come yes. on. Come on. Yes.
Do you know what it's like to hear God say, they not only failed by their father, that woman is not only failed by her husband, but they are all failed by their pastor.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness.
The man that I anointed, the man that I put oil in, the man that can lay hands on the sick and they recover, yeah. can prophesy things into the atmosphere and mm-hmm. it come to pass. And you got four people that I asked you to handle with care.
Right, right.
And they don't even want to come to church no more.
My God.
What are you doing with what I gave you?
What are you doing with what I gave you?
You look like the man. Hmm. This is what the Lord said. You look like the individual that I gave one talent to, and he buried it. And when the when the master came and asked him, what did he do with his talent? You buried it.
Wow.
You treated it like it was dead, and you put it in a grave. And when I came back to give an, to make you give an account for it, now you're going to pull it out of the grave and try to blame them for not growing.
My.
Try to blame them for not multiplying. When the truth is, you are a wicked and slothful individual, and depart from me. I know you not. I never do.
Wow. Come on. Whew.
So when God finally got to me, I said, Lord, I hear you. Show me what to do.
Yeah. That's it.
Show me what to do.
That's it.
Show me what to do. And I started reading this book. Family Life Bible Studies for Couples.
Okay.
I got to get that book.
Powerful book. I'm finding money in this book. Praise
God. Look at this. Look at God. Come on.
Provision for the family.
And the first chapter of this book says the Lordship of Christ over all life. And it talks about the responsibility of the head of the house seeing to it that God or Christ is the Lord over the house. So when Christ is Lord over the house, here's what happens. This macho man that I was,
come on,
submits to God.
Right.
And when I submit to God, I find out that it is safe to also submit to her.
Come on. It's okay to submit.
Because the God that I'm submitting to in the heavens is the same God in her.
Come on.
That's right. Same.
Come on.
That's what helper is.
And the scripture says, and the scripture say, submit ye one to
another.
That's right.
That's right.
So I realized, I said, Lord, show me how. So I just start trying to take her out on dates and love on her, and I didn't know what to do. At one time, she said, I want a divorce.
Amen.
She told me that she wanted a divorce.
My goodness.
It was a Saturday night. And when I heard her say it, it like snatched life out of me. And I called my friend Mark Vereen. I didn't know what to do. I was like, she wanted a divorce. And the truth of the matter is, God was allowing me to feel
what she felt.
Wow. Ooh-wee, come on.
That's
because the only way that I would be able to really effectively make an attempt to heal her pain was to first feel her pain.
That's right.
Ain't that the same thing when Jesus came down and he was sent down because he was able to go to God on our behalf because he felt
We have not a high priest.
Come on.
That's right.
Who cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmities.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
So in order for me to heal her pain, I had to first feel her pain. Mm-hmm. And she told me that Saturday night, she said, I asked her, I said, so do you want a divorce? And she said, yes.
Wow. Wow. Clear.
And that thing, here's what the problem was. The problem was that she said she voted. She said she wanted a divorce, but I knew that she was in love with her husband. So the next question I asked her was, because asking her, did she want a divorce, was really a kick and a scream and a, I need you to hurt like I hurt kind of statement.
Mm-hmm.
So the Lord said, don't ask that question no more, because you don't have a right to really get the answer.
Wow.
Because you don't have a right to really put her in a position where she got to give you answers. The question you need to be asking is this. Did you feel abandoned by me?
Come on.
Come on. Here are the questions.
And when I asked her that question,
right,
she said yes.
Yes, 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 okay.
And when she said yes, the Holy Ghost convicted me in such a way, because he just brought me all the way back to Eden, and he said to me, does Eve really eat from that tree? If Adam is there to remind her not to.
That's right. Bishop, I want to ask you a question real quick. Because we're going to have to bring you back for a part two. Because they're chiming in. You ain't see. I don't know if you see in the comments, man, but they chiming in, and God knows you are really blessing the people. They're commenting, but I just want to go back a little bit, and I promise you, we're gonna have to do part two, man. Right. We're gonna have to do part two, but I want to ask you a question. Just a quick question.
Keep going. Yeah. What we got to pay for more airtime? I'll pay for more airtime.
Yeah, you gonna have to cash out that to do. But listen. Wow, that question abandoned. Yes, Crystal, that was awesome. But I want to ask you this question. Now, I want to go back, because you said when it came to the church, when it came to you being not just a husband, but your actions caused your family to not only lose a father, to lose a husband, but they lost a pastor. So my question to you is it because I see this happen a lot. I see pastors who really believe that they can operate ministry without their families or without their wives sometime.
Wow.
I see it happening a lot. Like, they really believe that this could go, I could be effective without my family. You know what I'm saying? Right. Especially if there's issues in the family, then they allow the issues to overtake and they don't even involve them. As long as the
people don't see
it. Could you be effective in ministry? That's my question. Could you be effective in ministry, especially when you have a family and your family is not supporting what you do in ministry?
Because of their pain.
You can create the illusion of effectiveness. But the ultimate satisfaction and success is to hear him say, well done.
Come on.
Yeah.
Any success that you are able to garner without the order that God sets in place,
yes,
is really a fog.
Smoke and mirrors. Wow.
And a fog is spelled F-O-G. It's really a form of godliness.
Oh,
wow.
Fog.
Come on.
My goodness.
But the latter part of that scripture is, It denies the power. The power.
Yes. The power denied. That's right.
So it is a form of godliness, but it ain't got no power.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So while you got thousands of people coming to your church, you still got thousands of people suffering in their marriages at home in private. They are, listen to me. The oil flows from the head down my bed,
come on
my skirt,
come on
to the people.
Hmm.
Don't let no illusion of greatness and success cause you to believe that everything is okay. Because
mm-hmm.
Wow. It's not. Because what we do in church is really habitual. What we do in church is really something that we know how to do because we know how to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But if the issues are privately in my home, it ain't going to be for so long before people in your church's issues start to rise to the top. Because the cream always comes to the top.
To the top.
That's right.
That's right.
To the top.
That's right.
It's going to come out.
It is.
And it's going to be it's going to be a result of the oil that is flowing through the house.
Yes.
Hmm. Hmm.
If I got the oil of disloyalty on me,
come on,
the oil is going to flow through the house. Now, it may not hit an immediate marriage, but it might hit your children's marriage.
Come on. Hmm.
It's going to hit something.
And you wonder why.
Because
you see
there is a contaminated oil on
there's a contaminated, come on
wow.
now.
Wow.
My God.
And it stops, being oil, it only becomes grease.
And you know grease ain't good for you.
Woo, my God.
Grease will choke, clog the arteries,
oil
and
equals
suck
grease.
The life out of you. Yes, that is so true, wow. Robin. She said, that flesh is in self in reverse. Wow, himself or herself.
In reverse.
It's,
that's
flesh
right.
in reverse. I like that, Robin.
That's right.
Yes.
Wow, come yep. on, y'all.
Bishop.
So. Pastor Jay, he said he'll pay for some more time if you have to. I really want people to hear what you inspired the topic, as he said. You can love again. You were at a point in your testimony. We can't leave the people hanging. We need the people to understand what happened. How did you
that
love
morning,
again? Uh-huh.
That morning, after she told me she wanted a divorce. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah,
we can hear you good.
When she told me she wanted a divorce, it was Sunday morning after that. So I got the responsibility of getting up and trying to go preach.
Okay, wait, your sound went out. Your sound went out.
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Can y'all hear me now?
Yeah, we got you.
Okay. I couldn't get out of the bed that morning.
Hmm.
Somebody say something to me so I can hear y'all.
Yes, sir. We can hear you.
Can you hear us?
You couldn't Hold get on. Out of the bed that morning.
Because I can't hear you all.
Oh, okay.
One can you hear? Wait. I know what to do.
All right, do it.
Okay, y'all can hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear
okay.
us?
Okay, I could not get out of the bed.
Okay.
And so I called, my daughter said that I called her. She said I didn't sound good when I called her. And so she came running to the house to make sure I was okay. I was completely distraught, completely out of it, completely messed up. And really, I finally got to the church. I didn't have anything to preach. I didn't study anything. I didn't want to preach. I didn't feel like preaching. And when it was time to get up and preach, the Lord sent me to the scripture where Jacob fought with God.
Mm-hmm.
And when Jacob fought with God, the Bible says that Jacob told this angel
I won't let you go until you bless me. And in the text, it says that this being that Jacob was fighting was asking him, what is your name? And he said, my name is Jacob. And he said, your name is no longer Jacob, because today you have fought with God. And he said to me, tell the people, which you'll really be preaching to yourself, fight like your life depends on it.
Yes, right. That's good.
And so, because at that point, I just was like, okay, Lord, she said she wanted a divorce. What am I going to do? I'll be fighting by myself. And he said, you ain't going to be fighting by yourself. I'm fighting with you. If you do my will, if you do it how I tell you to do it, I'll be fighting with you.
That's right. Never alone.
And whatever enemy is causing her to continue to live in the pain that is trying to kidnap her from your victory, I'll fight that enemy.
Come on.
You learn how to love the wife I gave you. She ain't the enemy. The hurt that you put in her is the enemy.
Come on. Wow. Oh my.
The pain that you caused her is the enemy. The tears that you made her cry is the enemy. The broken heart that she had to suffer by way of your craziness and your stupidity, that's the enemy. And because I have grace enough not to kill you for what you did to her, I'll fight your enemies that you put in her.
Come on. Come on, Bishop.
You just love her like I told you to love her.
That's right,
Sheree. So as a result, me and my wonderful wife have been on more dates in the last 5 months than we've been on in 22 years we've been married.
Come on. You can love again.
Did you fight?
I fought.
Come on.
Child, listen. I fought tooth and nail because I realized that I am not who I am without this woman.
Hey, man.
I realized that she is the sound that I heard when it was time for me to wake up and see what God gave me.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
The scripture says that when God said, it is not good for man to be alone, he put Adam into a deep slumber.
Come on.
And when he put Adam into a deep slumber, he reached into Adam and pulled out his helpmate. I'm not looking for a soulmate. God got my soul. I need a helpmate. And there was a sound in that garden that did not sound like the footsteps of none of the animals.
Come on, come on, come on.
There was a sound in that garden that did not sound like the breathing of the giraffe.
Come on.
Or the inhale or exhale of one of the elephants. She had another sound.
Wow.
That woke him up. Yama koshiada bahaya. And when he heard that sound, it woke him up. And when he woke up, he saw what he heard.
Come on. Oh my.
And called her woman.
My.
You will not see your spouse until you learn how to hear your spouse.
Hear me. That's right, Ashley. Come on now.
You will not know who your spouse is until you learn the difference in her sound.
Come on. Oh, you about to make me run.
She don't like the animals you used to.
My.
Wow.
Come on. Say that again. Oh, my God.
That's right.
Whew.
She has a sound on her that, and that's the only sound that can wake you up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting ready to go real deep, real quick.
Uh-oh,
I'm
going to help y'all.
And then I
know
y'all got to go off. But the sound that woke him up had to be identical with the rock that put him to sleep.
Wow.
Come on, Bishop.
So if it was God that put him to sleep to get the woman out, only God can wake him up.
My. Mm-hmm. Come on.
And instead of God using his voice to wake up Adam, he traveled into the voice of Eve.
That's
and
right.
Into the footsteps of Eve.
Come on.
You know that you would be so much further ahead as a husband if you learned that the voice of God is also in your wife?
That's right.
Come on.
That the sound
learn my
of God
sound, Krista.
In your wife's footsteps.
Come on.
Again, she doesn't sound like the animals you're used to hearing.
She don't sound like the animals. Come on, Bishop. Come on.
She doesn't communicate with growls and noises that you're not able to articulate because you don't speak that language.
Come on.
The only language that you are familiar with the animals is how they mate with one another.
Oh, speak!
That's the only language that you are used to when it comes to the animals.
My. Right. Come on.
So you only respond to animals based off of what you see.
My God.
So God does not want you responding to what you see, because if you respond to what you see, Adam, you'll act like an animal.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus. Whew.
But instead, I want you to respond to what you hear. What do you hear? You hear Eve. Koshiyama.
Hey! Yes, God.
Yes.
Come on.
You hear Eve.
Come on. Man.
You don't hear a giraffe.
That's right, Ashley.
Hear me.
You hear Eve.
I want all the ladies in the chat to put hear me. Hear me. See, we don't hear this talk from men. We don't hear this talk from men. The lifting up of the woman in the marriage. Is that the queen?
Just give her, put a little glimpse to the queen so we can see her.
I know how it is when we haven't gotten.
The reason why he's in the car, y'all, is because he's picking up his wife.
Hey,
there she
queen.
Is. Hey, queen.
Her beautiful self. Hey, girl. We are. I think every woman in the nation is now just loving you because of what he has instilled in us tonight. Girl,
yes,
thank you, God.
Yeah, they
your journey.
Listen, you got all these women on here responding. Listen to my
God.
Voice.
Listen to my voice.
Yes, hear me. That's right.
Hear
oh, wow.
Me,
the God voice inside of the women. Yes. Come
we
on, bro.
We don't get this. We don't get
yes,
this.
Yes.
We don't get a chance to hear men say the things that you are saying to us tonight, because usually the woman is the villain for some reason. And like you said, she is not the enemy. It's the enemies of her pain and things that were put in us. And I love this. Oh my God. I want to just keep going. But
listen, y'all,
we definitely have to,
the first lady has gotten in the car. So we going to have to, we got to,
we have to allow
she, now.
She told me, okay, now move the camera.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice top laptop brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit LGUSA.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.